This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Greetings this morning, and welcome to our lesson today. We're certainly glad you've tuned us in. Now again, if you'd like to contact me, you may do so through my website or by regular mail, and I'll give you those addresses at the close of the program. My website has this program on it. You can re-listen to it there, and it has a weekly meditation, some tracks and some testimonies and some questions and answers, other information that you might find helpful. Now today we're going to look at another of these miracles of the Lord Jesus. And this is one that I particularly identify with. It's found in John chapter 9. It would be the 26th miracle in terms of the order in which they occurred. But the reason I like this miracle is because I can identify with it. As I've said, in the case of these miracles, sometimes we have to recognize that the miracle actually occurred, but we have to also recognize that the miracle occurred as a teaching tool. And all the miracles prove to us that Christ is who he claimed to be, the very Son of God. And that's why we go through these miracles, because we want to give you a reason for believing the truth. I know many people think that a Christian steps out in faith and he just steps out in the darkness without any reason for believing what he believes. Well, there's many things that we can't prove that the Bible tells us, but there's a lot of things that the Bible tells us that we can prove, and it's because the Bible is faithful with regard to what we can prove that we believe the things that we can't prove. And I've often said that if you tell me the truth and pay your bills, I'm going to have confidence in the fact that you tell the truth and pay your bills, and will probably do business with you, even though that doesn't assure me that the next time you do business with me, you're going to tell me the truth and pay your bills. But it's a matter of inductive reasoning, and as we study these miracles, we get confidence in the fact that the Lord is the Son of God and had the right to die for our sins and to offer us a full and free pardon from the penalty that we deserve because of our sins. He can change our destiny from a place of eternal torment to a place of eternal bliss simply when we trust him and believe in the fact that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, was buried, and he was raised again the third day according to the Scripture. So what we're saying is that our theme verse, faith comes by hearing, Romans 10 and verse 17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, is not a step of faith that is just a step into an abyss that makes no sense. It's a reasonable step when you understand the miracles, the Old Testament prophecies, the internal proofs that the Bible has given us that Jesus is who he claimed to be. Now, we want to read from John chapter 9. The last time we looked at a man whose eyes were open, and he couldn't see clearly right away. And that's sometimes the case with people who get saved. They understand that Christ died for them, but they don't understand that they've been born again, and they don't understand just exactly what this new relationship with Christ involves. And then as the Word of God is applied to them again and again, they see things clearly. And some people realize that Christ died for them, but they don't see clearly that means they'll go to heaven. And so there's times when it takes a second application of the Word of God to clear things up. But generally, we're more like this man who didn't understand much, but we mentioned last time, he says, "One thing I know, whereas I was blind, now I see," and that in a spiritual way is something I can identify with. Before I was saved, I wondered what this word saved meant. After I was saved, I could see that all it meant was that I had received the salvation that the Lord had provided for me when he died at the cross of Calvary. And I rested on that. I thank God for that. And when I did, I passed from death unto life. I passed from death unto life the moment I believed it. That's what the Bible says. But the moment I believed it, I thank God for that, which is also the norm when it comes to the conversion of a New Testament believer. Now, John chapter 9 and verse 1 says, "Now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth." And I want to stop here and say that sometimes we've been looking at miracles where when the miracle occurred, the Lord, or the healing occurred, the Lord would say, "Go and sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon thee." And it appears that that miracle cured a problem that had occurred because perhaps there was a lifestyle sin. Perhaps there was a difficulty with drugs or drink or something of that nature. But this man had not had that kind of a problem. He was simply a sinner because he had been born as a descendant of Adam. He was blind from birth. And that's our case. In our case, we're actually blind by birth. And we're blind because of the things we practice. We're sinners by nature and we're sinners by practice. But nevertheless, this man had a problem in that he was blind from birth and it was through no fault of his own. Some people say, "Well, why was I born a sinner?" Well, it was so that God could show his mercy to you and save you, as far as I'm concerned. And so this man was blind from his birth, and of course, the disciples asked him, saying, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" We assume that if something happens that's a disaster in a person's life, or if there's a difficulty in a person's life, somebody had to have sinned. And that's not always the case, so be careful when you're taking that attitude. Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." And when he said these things, he spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And then he said to him, "Go and wash in the pool of Siloam," which is translated sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. Now, in our case, we're not asked to wash in the pool of Siloam. I look at the mixing of the saliva with the clay as being representative of what the Lord did for us at the cross. He made a provision for us so that we could be cleansed from our sin. But then he says, "This man, go and wash." What he says to us is, "Go and believe." Actually, he doesn't say "go and believe." He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And so he invites us to come to him, to trust in him. And whenever in the scripture the question is asked, "What must I do to be saved?" the answer is always, "Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." And we shouldn't make that harder than it is, and we shouldn't go beyond that to make it something that it isn't. When we get saved, we're trusting in what God did for us. We're not trusting in something that we have done for God. And this man was able to have that saliva and clay applied to his eyes. Christ had done something to him, and when the Lord told him to go and wash, he went and did it because the Lord told him to do that, and he came back seeing, and it was all of God, even though this man had a responsibility to appropriate that blessing by faith, which is what the scriptures teach us. And so the neighbors who had previously seen that he was blind said, "Is not this he who sat and begged?" Some said, "This is he." Others said, "He is like him." He said, "I am he." Therefore they said to him, "How were your eyes open?" And he answered and said, "A man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, 'Go to the pool of Siloam and wash.' So I went and washed, and I received sight." He had a testimony. He could tell how his eyes were open. He could tell people how he had received his sight. And I like it when people want to tell me how the Lord spiritually opened their eyes. And they could say, "Well, I didn't understand. I was blind. But now I see. Now I understand that Christ died for me." Then they said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I do not know." And they brought him who formerly was blind to the Pharisees. Now it was the Sabbath when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. And the Pharisees also asked him again how he received his sight. And he said to them, he put clay on my eyes, and I washed, and I see. And therefore some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God, because he does not keep the Sabbath. And so the religious rules were more important to them than the blessing that this man had gotten by coming to the Lord and letting the Lord heal him. They said to the blind man again, what do you say about him because he opened your eyes? He said, he is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him who had received his sight. And they asked them, saying, is this your son whom you say was born blind? Oh, yeah, obviously they've been born blind, but now they're not willing to accept that truth. You say was born blind? How then does he now see? And his parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind. By what means he now sees, we do not know. Or who opened his eyes, we do not know. He is of age. Ask him. He will speak for himself. And his parents said these things because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if anyone confessed that he was the Christ, he would be put out of the synagogue. In other words, if you were a follower of Jesus, even in that day, you were going to be persecuted by the religious leaders who claimed to be worshiping the living and true God. Scary, isn't it? Therefore, his parents said, he is of age, ask him. So they again called the man who was blind and said, give God the glory. We know that this man is a sinner. And he said, whether he is a sinner or not, I do not know. One thing I know, that though I was blind, now I see. But then he goes on to think a little bit about what they're saying. And he says, well, herein is a marvelous thing, that you do not know where he is from, yet he has opened my eyes. Now, we know that God does not hear sinners. Now, that's not necessarily true, but that is what the Pharisees taught. And he's going by what the Pharisees taught. We know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, he hears him. And so now, all of a sudden, he's using the logic of the teaching of the Pharisees to realize and to believe that these Pharisees don't have a clue. But he knows that his eyes were open. And so when we look at this man, we see he was born blind. God made provision to open his eyes. He took advantage of that provision by obeying what God had asked him to do. In our case, we're told to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and we'll be saved. We have to appropriate the truth that Christ died for our sins by faith. And when we do that, our eyes will be opened. And how many times have I sat with people and worked with them, and they'll say, I don't understand what this is all about. And as we look at the scriptures, whether it be John 3:16, Isaiah 53:5-6, whether it be John 3:36, and you can look these scriptures up at your leisure, no matter what they are, when they begin to look at them, and when they first accept the fact that they're not saved, that they're lost and need to be saved, that's when they are able to take in the truth that Christ did indeed die for their sins. Too many people today want to believe that Christ died for their sins without accepting the fact that they're blind from their birth, that they're blind because of things they have done. They don't want to take the position of being lost. But friend, the Lord has never saved the saved. He saves the lost. He doesn't open the eyes of those who can see. He opens the eyes of the blind. And we may not know much when we're first saved, but we should be able to say, one thing I know, whereas I was blind, now I see. Now I understand. Our Heavenly Father, we ask you to bless our lesson today and to bless those who have listened. We thank thee for thy love in our Savior's worthy and precious name. Amen. My website address is bdcministries.com, bdcministries.com. And my mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. And we do thank you for listening.